3, 2, 1.
Well, thank you, Jay Snow, for playing me in. And hey, welcome to the show, everyone. Another big, big Monday show where I'm gonna we're gonna talk some movies with me, your host, your DJ Hammer, DJ Jason, whatever. I go by many names, but I have an interview. Hopefully, at the bottom of the hour, incoming comedian Tony Hinchcliffe will be calling in. So we're gonna talk stuff with him. He is headlining at the Helium this weekend, and he's hilarious. Actually, ironically enough, I was just in California last month, and I saw him at the Comedy Store. And he's a regular at the Comedy Store, which is a legendary comedy store run by Mitzi Shore. I think it's now taken over by Pauly because Mitzi's incapacitated, but it's still, you know, still legendary. It's there. So, and hopefully, I think he'll be calling in at 9:30, somewhere in there. You know, I can't be sure. But before that, big weekend at the movies, kind of. Furious 7, still going strong. Can't go wrong there. I saw a little movie. Well, I don't know if it's little, but, you know, like a smaller release movie, which is what I'm into these days because I feel like that's where the best movies are at. I'm not going to pronounce it correctly. I'm going to pronounce it my way. I mispronounce a lot of things. For people that regularly listen to the show, you know that is actually part of my charm, is the way I mispronounce things. But no, I saw, and the guy who sold me the ticket, at my new favorite theater here in Buffalo, at the Amherst Theater, the Amherst Dipson on Main Street. Actually, I think I just called it Ex Machina, and he pronounced it correctly for me. He's like, oh, you want two for whatever, however he said it. And, you know, I didn't get bit out of shape because I don't do that. It doesn't bother me. But, Furious 7 still took in another 17.8, so that's still crushing it at the box office. Paul Blart, Mall Cop, despite, it was at 0%, somehow got ruined on Rotten Tomatoes. It made it from 0%. It's crawled its way up to 4% approval. And that came in number two, brought in another $14.8 million. So I think it was made for a $30 million. Kevin James was probably smart enough. He's pretty savvy, because he's, you know, he was EP on his show that ran for 9 years. That got my, you know, I feel like Kevin James has like the kind of career. I mean, he's made enough money to live off of just by his TV show, and a lot of people knock that, even though it ran for 9 years. But I mean, a lot of TV shows. I personally like the show, but, a lot of people knock it. And I feel like, How I Met Your Mother, that ran too long. I mean, how did that run? What did that go? 8, 9 seasons? I guess a lot of people were really invested. It was a good trick to really get people wondering how he did meet his mother, I guess. Oh, that's the phone. Let me double check and make sure that's Tony. 1 second. 91.3. Hello? Oh, great. Hang on 1 second for me, Tony, please. Okay, that is Tony. So we're going to put him on the air. He's very punctual. Dig that. All right. Hello, Tony.
Hello. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Great.
Oh, thanks.
It's a beautiful day in Los Angeles, California.
Don't brag, man. It's nice out here in Buffalo. I mean, you're going to enjoy it. You're coming to Buffalo this weekend at Helium.
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I've been to Buffalo before, and Helium is one of my favorite places to be in Buffalo because it's probably the only place that I've been in Buffalo.
Ever?
Pretty exciting. Yeah. I remember last time I was there, I learned that no places deliver food after 10 p.m. That's a tough lesson to learn.
I think we have some pizzerias that deliver after 10, maybe?
I don't think so. I think I tried. Maybe it was a Sunday. Oh, it was a Sunday night that I was there. Did a one-nighter there on a Sunday for the last 2 years after a comedy festival in Toronto. So, but it's fun. I'm really excited about it. How are Buffalo sports teams doing? Any update there?
Well, we were excited about the Bills because we got Rex, you know, Rex Ryan. So that, right. And we, our hockey team didn't quite, you know, the Sabres finished last, and we didn't quite get the draft pick we wanted. So I think some people are upset about that. But our AAA Bisons team, who is a farm team for Toronto, is in first place. So there you go.
Wow, wow. You got to love that. You know it's a tough city when the AAA baseball team gets the bragging rights.
Yeah, we cling to what we can here in Buffalo.
So how's it going? I mean, how's the weather there? What are we talking about? What's going on there?
Well, today it was in the 50s. It was a little windy. I think you're looking at 60s by the time you come in for Thursday, for your Thursday show.
Oh, that's great. I can handle 60s. I can handle 60s in Buffalo. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Thursday, one show, two shows on Friday, two shows on Saturday. I'm going to stand up there, and I'm going to make fun of Buffalo so much because it's just simply so easy to do. It's just too easy.
I did see that on your Twitter. And you know what? We appreciate that, though, because we do have a sense of humor about ourselves here in Buffalo, as we should.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You have to. You have to have a great sense of humor to live in Buffalo because there's nothing else. So if you can't laugh about it, then, you know, then what's the whole point? But I'm going to try to get there early and maybe walk around the town a little bit and find out specific things about it. But for the most part, I just know that, you know, it's one of those cities that's a great it's a great city to stop by on your way from New York City to Toronto. Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. But
no, that's fine. What type of radio station is this?
This is a college radio station. We're drumming up some business in the college realm.
I love colleges. That's so fun. What's the big university there?
Well, this is from technically Buffalo State, but I mean the big university would really be UB.
UB, which is the University of Buffalo.
Yeah.
Which is different than Buffalo State.
Yeah. Well, it's better.
And both of them, what? You can just get, what, a master's degree in making wing sauce or something like that? That's it?
I think they do offer that. I think there's other degrees, but I mean, I don't know.
Oh, that's very exciting. Very exciting.
You know what? Kids,
yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say, I was actually in California last month, and I saw you at the Comedy Store.
Oh, really? How did
Sunday.
That set go? How was that night?
Well, in my opinion, I thought it was great. I loved your set.
Oh, in your opinion, which means what? That the rest of the audience didn't like me?
No.
A rough one that night? Sometimes I go up late and I get angry at the spot that I'm given and I just ramble about how I deserve better without actually doing any jokes.
No, actually, on Sunday, well, you know, I mean, I don't want to tell you your business, but, you know, it's rough because people are leaving and people are coming in. And then, like, you kind of came in, like, when a lot of people left. So it was, you had the change of audience. But, I mean, you know, you rocked the whole audience, but... I think the person before you did less than well, but I don't remember his name.
That's usually about right. Normally at the Comedy Store, they put me up after somebody that I'm better than. And it normally makes me very angry. And then it's very hard to perform when you're angry, you know? It's pretty frustrating. But, you know, the Comedy Store is one of those places where it benefits you to learn how to perform angry. This way, when you perform shows, for example, out on the road, like at Helium in Buffalo, you end up being on the top of your game because you're so used to performing angry that when you get to perform happy, all of a sudden the ankle weights are off and you can really kill. Does that make sense?
Totally. I get it. So I'm kind of obsessed with the comedy. How does that work? Like on a Sunday, do they just randomly choose where you're going or how does that work?
There's a talent coordinator, a guy that makes the lineups. A bunch of comedians leave avails, which is like you call in for what nights that you could have you could do a spot, you know, nights in which you're available to do a spot if they book you. And then you find out a few days before when and if you have a spot. Normally I get the spot that I put in for. If I'm available for a night, I'll at least get that. But because that question's always when. You know, it's tough to beat out these guys in their 40s and 50s. Tough. They've been doing it longer than me. They've been doing their not as funny as mine joke for longer than me. Does that make sense?
It does.
I mean, I guarantee you, and tell me if I'm right, I bet that the guy that you're talking about that you said was much less funny than me before I went on stage, I'm guessing he looked older than me, right?
Oh, he did, yes.
Certainly did. Probably a lot older than me. Probably at least 10 or 15 years older than me, right?
Probably, at least.
Yeah, see, that's what happens. And these college kids that are listening to this station should know that. And that's that even if you do your absolute best, there's still going to be some old guy that gets a little bit of a spot before you. But the college kids learn a lesson there.
That is good to know. In case they ever want to go up at the comedies. Do you know? He might have been there before you started. How long have you been hanging out at the Comedy Store?
8 years.
Do you know Jimmy Pidd?
Oh yeah, I do know Jimmy Pidd, and he moved to Buffalo, right?
Yeah,
he's there right now.
He's not in the studio, but he is a staple of Buffalo comedy.
Oh, he's a staple already?
Yeah.
Wow. What a machine. Yeah, he was one of my good buddies. We worked the door at the Comedy Store together for years before he decided to go move to Buffalo and make it in Buffalo. And it looks and by the sound of it, now that you just confirmed on the air that he's a staple of Buffalo. So, that goes to show you what the Comedy Store can do for somebody. You can work there and then you can move to a city like Buffalo. You can become a staple. I think that's what everybody really wants at the end of the day, is to become a staple in a city like Buffalo.
it's
the dream. That's why everybody comes to L.A. It's so that you can move to a city like Buffalo and be the best.
Well, it's true. Like Steve Ranazzisi started as a doorman. Mm-hmm. He only went to FX and got on TV. Jimmy came to Buffalo.
Right, exactly. Letterman was a door guy at the Comedy Store. Yeah. Jim Carrey was a door guy. Sam Kinison. And Jimmy Pidd. And Jimmy Pidd took an interesting route, A lot of those guys want TV. Jimmy Pidd went the other way. He wants pizza before 10 p.m.
Jimmy's great, though. I do love Jimmy.
No, he's amazing. He's so great. And I'm sure I'm going to get to see him this weekend, and we're going to have a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to these shows. Are you going to come out?
Sure. Yeah, definitely. I'd like to probably Saturday. I like to come to the late show on Saturday because I feel like that's when you really hit your groove because you've had four shows under your belt and then everyone's really drunk in the audience.
Well, yeah, that is an interesting one. It's a combination of the two things. Second show Saturday is fun because sure, I guess I'm warmed up, but I'm always warmed up. The truth is the second show Saturday is crowd's a little bit sloppier than usual. Sometimes they've been day drinking after a long, rough week. And, you never know what you're going to get. But every show's going to be fun, including the Thursday show.
Oh, well, for sure. You're a professional. Mm-hmm. You're going to come out of the box, definitely. Great.
It's going to be fantastic. And there's other really funny comedians on the lineup, too. It's going to be exciting.
Who's your middle?
There's a comedian named Ashley Barnhill that's coming with me, actually. Hilarious. She opens for Dave Chappelle on the Oddball Tour and when he goes out on the road. She's really, really great. She's much like me, she's also very popular in the L.A. roast community, too. So I'm sure she'll have some really nice things to say about your fine, fine city.
I'm sure. And I know your opener as well, and he's hilarious.
The host?
Yes, the host.
I just got a message from him today. What's his name again?
Liam Patrick.
Liam Patrick, that's right. It's like a combination of so many great actors' names all in one.
Fine Irish boy.
Definitely. He better be with a name like that.
Oh, yeah, he fits. If you imagine what he'd look like, it's exactly what he looks like because he has red hair and he's very pale.
Wow. I love it. Well, that's great. Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. So...
We'll get you some food after 10 o'clock, man. We will take care of you here. We don't want, after your last show.
Well, I'm excited. I'm going to put in the order right now just to make sure that it's ready. Thanks for having me, Liam. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, sorry, not Liam. Now you have me confused.
Sorry. No, it's Jason.
Jason. Such a blast, man. I got to run, and I'm doing my live podcast right now from the Comedy Store. I'm about to go on the air in a bit, and
right. Kill
anybody
Tony.
Who's listening can also check that out. That's at Ustream.tv/Death Squad. That's called Kill Tony. Yeah, that's where me and comedians talk to other comedians about doing comedy. New comedians do 60 seconds, and then me and two other comedians either make fun of them, try to help them, or talk about anything else that might be interesting.
Yeah, you're doing it live right at the Comedy Store.
Yep, at 8 p.m. Pacific, so that'll be 11 o'clock your time. I got to go jump in the shower and head over there right now.
All right, man. Well, no, great. Hopefully I will catch you Saturday, and thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much. Looking forward to seeing you this weekend.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, there you go. That was my new best friend, Tony Hinchcliffe, who is he's super excited about hitting Buffalo. You can tell in his voice the enthusiasm. And if you're not familiar with his style of comedy, which is great, you should check that out on YouTube. Or do check out his podcast, Kill Tony. I think I have listened to it. Or have I listened to it? I've listened to it. I don't know if I've watched it on YouTube. But I have listened to it, I believe, several times. And if you're interested in comedy, it's very funny. I don't know his guests tonight. Or like he said, he has two guests perform live on the Comedy Store stage. And then they have fun with that. So... yeah, he'll be all this weekend. I think he was disappointed. He wasn't sure what kind of radio station this was. I don't know. Sometimes it disappoints people. I he's probably going to have a word with his publicist, but that's okay. You know, I feel like that's, you know, Tony's thing is to be a little, offensive. If you do follow him on Twitter as well, and you can see that he is true to his word. He's going to make fun of Buffalo. He writes a lot of jokes for the roast on Comedy Central. I don't know if he wrote any jokes for the Justin Bieber roast, but I know he worked on the James Franco roast, and that's his style. He also hosts some roasts right at the Comedy Store as well. You know, that's his style of comedy where he makes fun of people, which is, you know, a form of comedy that I enjoy myself, that I participate in. So, and you know, hopefully he will be hilarious. Trust me. He, as I said, I saw him at the Comedy Store. I don't know if that was offensive to him when I said, in my opinion, because I guess obviously when you say something, it is your opinion, but I just wanted to qualify it as in, like, my opinion. I thought it was hilarious. I don't know why I did that. It was probably unnecessary, but there you go. Check him out. Check out his, or you know what? He does that. Check out his website, follow him on Twitter, and go see him at Helium, because he will definitely make fun of Buffalo. And you know what? I didn't even know that. Maybe I haven't ordered food after 10 o'clock in a long time. You know what? That's not true. Maybe downtown there isn't areas that deliver after 10. But you know, I know my neighborhood pizzeria definitely delivers. They deliver until 3 a.m. It's right on their sign. But you know, I hate to correct people. Because that really, some people don't like to be corrected. So let's move on, and I do appreciate him calling. Let's move on to movies, though. As I was saying, what was I doing? Oh, I was going over the top 10, and Paul Blart, still number 2, ruined his perfect rating of 0. He's up to 4% on Rotten Tomatoes. The Age of Adeline with Blake Lively is number 3. That took in $13.2 million. Well, good for that movie. Sounds delightful. Home is still sticking in there. The animated film with Jim Parsons and Rihanna, that took in $8 million. Unfriended, horror movie, filmed all on iPad cameras. I think 16 different ones. Or was it over 16 days? Maybe it was several different iPad. It was just iPad cameras. I don't know how many different ones they used, but over 16 days. You know, and kind of like the found footage, which is still a... good going strong genre in movies that came in with 16.2. And the movie I saw in smaller release is Ex Machina with Alicia Vikander and Oscar Isaac. So, and the person I went with, she did not like the movie. And again, this movie kind of explores artificial intelligence, which I guess I kind of am obsessed with. And I think movie makers are, too, because it's going to happen. I don't know if there's any technology phobes out there. And a lot of movies are actually predicting that AI, artificial intelligence, will be the end of civilization. That I don't know about. But, you know, a la The Matrix, which is one of my favorite movies. Obviously, that's about artificial intelligence. I think we can get along, right? like, maybe I feel, but you know, I am an ultimate optimist. I feel like we can get along well with Art of. I feel like it's going to enhance our life, and it will be the best. And it's not going to be the ruin of civilization like many people feel like. I think whatever artificial intelligence, I think they're going to go on to develop their own sort of intelligence, because that's what you do. Like, when you're really smart, you want to create stuff. So I think artificial intelligence is going to create a next generation of artificial intelligence, or AI 2. That might be the downfall of humanity. I think that's what science fiction needs to focus on. You know, or like the transfer of consciousness. That was kind of like what the movie Chappie, the horrible movie Chappie, was about. But don't go see that movie. But you know, it explores those themes. And it was kind of between this movie and Adult Beginners with Nick Kroll, which was a comedy with drama in there. And I was going to see that. And this is why you should never pay attention to what people say, or at least critics say about the movie, or even user rate. Like on Rotten Tomatoes, a lot of people, it was kind of got like mixed reviews. So I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna go see that, because this movie Ex Machina it's at 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, 90% critics, and it's 88% fresh from users. So I said, hey, you know what? And I heard a lot of good buzz. I think just reading and overall, I was like, well, let's go see this movie. And I didn't feel, it was definitely overhyped. I didn't feel great about it. It's just the performance, like Oscar Isaac, he was the guy from, if you remember, the Coen Brothers, Inside Llewyn Davis. He was in that movie. He was in another smaller movie, about New York. What was it, like The Dangerous Days? I can't remember the exact title. But he is, it gives a good performance. He's the Bill Gates, or, well, basically in the movie, he's the founder of, they call it Blue Book, but it would be like a Google. It's like the biggest search engine on the internet. He founded it. So he's, you know, he plays like the rich billionaire, super smart. You know, he wrote the code for it when he was 13. And he definitely, in my book, in my opinion, he hits it well, because he, I feel like that's exactly how a billionaire, like, because his where his research facility is, where he created this machine, this artificial intelligence named Ava in a robot, is, it's like a very isolated lab in the side of a mountain, and he eats a lot of sushi, drinks a lot of wine, you know, he kind of gets drunk a lot, but that's what you do, I feel like, if you're a billionaire with your own research facility, been a genius all your life, and he's very good at, very smart, but, there's always a price that comes with being super smart, and I know all about that. You know, I could feel him being crushed by the weight of your own genius. That I can totally relate to. You could just say, like, when you're super smart, he likes to screw with people, manipulate people, and and they kind of show him working out a lot, but that's probably what you do. You know, he's not your basic nerd. And then he finds a coder from his company to come out and give the Turing test, which is just a test to see how you interact, apparently, with artificial intelligence. And initially he feels like, or what he says is that the coder won a lottery just to come out and do it. But obviously as the plot unfolds, it's not that. I mean, he was chosen for a reason, and that becomes apparent. And what I read about it is like it's supposed to be suspenseful, and it says some things about, you know, I think it explores artificial intelligence in a different way, but it's not, you know, it's a little slow, and visually it was shot in a nice way. I mean, I enjoyed it. The person I went with, she didn't enjoy it so much, but she just felt it like it wasn't visually stimulating to her, like it was just not good, but that's okay. Maybe it wasn't for everyone. And there's like a few plot holes like within this very advanced lab that he's working in, lab/home where he lives. He still uses like key cards to get into places, and I feel like that's like an old school thing. Like if you're a billionaire, like right now you'd probably just use like handprint technology, or something of that nature. Especially if you're always getting drunk, you're going to lose your key card. But it's kind of like a plot point with the key cards. So that's probably why he decided to go with that. So I can see why. But it's kind of something that you think about in the back of your mind, like it doesn't quite make sense. And the chick in there obviously is very Ava, who plays the robot. Her name is Alyssa Valkander. She kind of looks like Reese Witherspoon to me, like if her chin was grinded down, like a less sharp-chinned Reese Witherspoon. She does a good job. You know, it's only 108 minutes. What does that equate to? An hour and 30 minutes. And, you know, and another reason that Buffalo Dipson on Main Street is my favorite, my new favorite theater to see movies in, besides being very old school with non-reclining seats not kind of not the best armrest, but it does have the best popcorn. But a lot of old people go there, and a lot of old people don't know how to whisper. So you're going to hear a lot of background noise as they're like trying to discuss the plot of the movie before the movie's over. And I mean, you know, it wasn't like super intrusive, but I find it humorous. And they were definitely hanging out in the lobby discussing the movie afterwards. So you probably, you know, if you want to go see a movie there, you could probably join in. The movie was written and directed by screenwriter Alex Garland, who's done other stuff. He has, this is his directorial debut, but he has written other movies. What did he write? The novel was made into film. Oh, did he write a book? Oh, he wrote the screenplay for 28 Days Later, which was a movie I enjoyed about the virus that was in 2002. Basically, kind of like a zombie movie from a while ago. That one was directed by Danny Boyle. So if you remember that, that was good. He also won this. What did he write? For the movie Sunshine, which I'm not familiar with that movie, but. This is, like I said, the acting is on point. Everyone's pretty good. I mean, the guy who plays the coder is another guy, Dominell Gleason, who, I mean, he's just your basic coding nerd. I mean, he doesn't have a lot to do, but I mean, he does it all right. And Alicia's good. I mean, it's all, I feel like it's shot well, if you enjoy that cinematography, that's part of it. Good acting, and the end is kind of, you know, I think it's a movie that you'd probably discuss a little bit. I mean, I'm just not super high on it. I feel like I would give it, I would recommend it. It's just, I don't know if I give it 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's a little, like, it's above average. There's a few different ideas about AI and, you know, where it's possibly going. But, you know, since it's all up for debate, and I don't know, maybe I would have been better off seeing Adult Beginners, but I would recommend it. And I recommend you go see it at the Main Street Dipson Theater. And I know I'm still saying it incorrectly, but there you go. Oh, it made 13. It was made on a budget of 16.4. So it's almost made its money back because it has a box office of 13.9. I don't want to discuss the plot too much because I feel like that gives it away. But, you know, it is, there's some, I guess what you'd call twists and turns. But, you know, it is a little slow compared to, you know, it's most fairs today. But that you could tell he's probably like a first-time director because, you know, I think I've read people said that the pacing was great. I would disagree there. It's a little slow, but as a first-time director, that's, you know, that's what you get. And, but it is like it builds suspense. It's slightly suspenseful, probably not as much as he's going for, but, and, you know, and it explores good ideas. So it is well-written for the most part. So I would recommend that. Or if you still haven't seen The Furious 7, I would definitely go see that. Because next week, obviously, coming out, is the big everything. All the nerds are salivating. They're using, I'm sure they have to use inhalers at least 5 or 6 extra times a day because they're so excited. Well, May 1st, you know, Avengers Age of Ultron will be out, which right now, oh, according to is only at 70% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. What else is out? I don't know. There's really, I mean, that's the only, that will probably be the movie that finally knocks Furious 7 down to number 2. And then other than that, it depends on what you want to see. You still, Russell Crowe's movie's out there. True Story, another small release movie with Jonah Hill, James Franco. While We're Young, I would definitely recommend that. That's a smaller release movie, one of Ben Stiller's better movies. Or a Danny Collins with Al Pacino and Annette Bening. And I think Mrs. Ben Stiller is in that as well. You can check that out. You know, and they say it's, you know, it's not a great time for movies because it's we're kind of gearing up for the big blockbuster season. But there is some good smaller movies out there that are getting made, which makes me feel better about cinema in general. Welcome to Me with Kristen Wiig, Tim Robbins. Can't go wrong with Kristen Wiig, I feel like. She's the best. Far From the Maddening Crowd. That will be out as well. And I don't know what that's about. I'm going to say it is... It's hard to say. Well, my phone loads very slowly. Oh, it's based on the literary classic by Thomas Hardy. Far From this is a story of independent, beautiful, and headstrong Bathsheba Everdeen, who attracts 3 very different, I'm going to say suitors, because my phone cuts off. So, yeah, that sounds, so if you're into, like, Victorian age literature come to life, you like Downton Abbey, bam, this movie's probably for you. I'm going to stick with Avengers Age of Ultron, obviously. But there you go. There's your weekend right there. You know what? I would say definitely go down to Helium and check out Tony Hinchcliffe, because he's going to put on a show. Him and he's got a Ashley, who's known on the roast circuit as well in L.A., and your opener, your local comic, Liam Patrick's going to be out there. So he's got five shows. So you can't go wrong with that. And check out, you know, you got a big superhero movie and you still got your smaller releases that are still getting made. I would recommend, you know, go see While We Were Young if you want to see a story-driven movie. Or if you want to see big special effects, you can't wait. If you want to see opening or Furious 7, or it'll be a good weekend. It's actually going to be above 50 degrees in Buffalo. I guess spring is finally, I think we're done with the snow for a while, so things are looking up in Buffalo. Buffalo's on the rise, as they say. So yeah, that'll do it for me. I think I've had enough. I'm gonna go perform some open mic comedy, which you can check all week long. If you're into comedy, you know what? There's open mic at Helium on Tuesdays. Wednesday there's open mic somewhere. There's an open mic every night of the week practically. So if you want to check out some stars of the future Monday through Thursday, or Monday through Wednesday, Thursday, and then, you know, see some professionals do it at the Helium, do that, and then catch a movie, and then go eat on a patio. Patios are now open. You can do it all. That's your weekend. I just planned your weekend for you, Buffalo. Enjoy that. Look, I did all the work for you. You don't even have to do any work. Well, I mean, if you want to specifically pick the restaurant, you do that. But I did the framework for you. I framed it out. There's your weekend. You're welcome. And I'm gonna go do some jokes. I'm gonna have Jay Snow play me out. So next week you can hear me talk about the Avengers, and maybe I'll have another interview with the delightful incoming comedian, or maybe I'll just replay that Tony Hinchcliffe interview because I feel like that went very well. And he's, go check him out and see what he has to say about, he's going to make fun of Buffalo and our sports teams, AAA. Hey, you know what? Sure, the Bisons are AAA, which is, you know, one wrong below professional baseball, but they're killing it. They're in first place until Toronto decides that they need all the talent, and then they're going to call them up, and then they're going to, you know. Then the team, that's actually what happened to the team last year. I think the team was in first place through the first month of the season, and then everyone got, you know, called up, and, you know, the AL East, if you know baseball, you know it's a tight race in the East this year. So Toronto's going to need all the help. So they're probably going to, you know, it's going to hurt the Bisons, but maybe they'll persevere. They'll come out on top. That's what I'm trying to say. So, you know, catch a Bisons game. I don't know. The Bisons are probably in town. That you can't get, I think you get a ticket for like $5 right there. And you could probably get really close. You might catch a foul ball. You don't even need a glove. They're really, it doesn't hurt that much. Trust me. I've done it a million times. You just catch it. Just reach out with your hand. Catch the ball. If you're with a date, it's going to be super. You will impress your date. or you know, do whatever. You know, I'm not your mom. All right. I'm leaving. So stay tuned for more All Talk Monday on 91.3. Or you might hear another stellar interview. You never know. You never know what's coming up on 91.3. So stay tuned after these songs right now.
Because the screen has begun, the madness starts 3, 2, 1. Cut. Send it to editing. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. It's a wrap.